Off the Ball Breakfast.
You would say Georgia is.
Did I say that? You said that. You literally said that.
That's what
Georgia is. Slightly better competition.
Your eyes just told me that. I'm just translating it.
Wow. Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Imro Award-winning sports program.
Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Welcome back. Now, history is going to be made tonight at Madison Square Garden, where an all-female card is happening. The main event is the third installment of Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano. We expect the main event to get underway at around 3:30 in the morning, early hours of Saturday morning. And to look ahead, we've got Eric Donovan on the line. Eric, good to chat to you. How are you keeping?
Yeah, all good, Owen. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Really looking forward to this. And I don't think there's really any overstating how big this is or how amazing this rivalry is. Like, you've got this whole suite of new ground being broken with every single fight, and we'll get into that in a moment. You've got the nice bit of needle that's developed certainly after the second fight. You've got the Irish angle, which draws us as an audience further in. But I think just underpinning this all is that this is amazing sport. Every time these two women step into the ring, we've had an all-time great clash between them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, Katie Taylor, just phenomenal athlete, an internationally renowned superstar. She is a global superstar, and she has transcended boxing. And she did say, when she, if you think back to the time she sent that message to Eddie Hearn after the Rio, the disappointment of the Rio Olympics, and she wanted a new challenge and a new kind of a new career, a change, basically. And Eddie Hearn said he had to listen to her. Like, he didn't know anything about women's boxing, but he had to listen to her because she was one of the best amateurs in the world then, but then now she's one of the best professionals. And she did. You know, I think Eddie Hearn's probably thinking that all his Christmas came at once when Katie Taylor reached out to him, you know. But he's a very good promoter. But what she has done for the boxing, what she has done for women's boxing is incredible. But you do need a good dance partner, you know. You need somebody to be able to make, you know, they say iron sharpens iron, and there's no better dance partner than Amanda Serrano. It's crazy because Amanda Serrano was already a four-weight world champion and had 32 fights undefeated when Katie Taylor was only turning professional. So she was already a seasoned pro. Probably you didn't even know what more she had left to achieve, but she's gone on now to become the most, I think she's won 7 world titles in 7 different ways. It's incredible, like, you know. But I bet she's happy too that Katie Taylor made the switch over, because a lot of the women involved in professional boxing are very grateful for the impact that Katie Taylor has made on the sport.
And it's not just a story in two acts, as in amateur career, professional career. It's also mad how this has all happened so recently within her professional career. She was 35 when she fought Amanda Serrano. And before that, it definitely felt, Eric, as if there was a tone around Katie where she wasn't being fully appreciated. That people would say she's broken new ground, she's done amazing things for professional women's boxing. But it was only really when she actually walked out of the Garden in 2022 where it felt that everybody was on board with this. And I'm not saying those people were right in any way. There was a bit of sneeriness and begrudgery around it. But the fact that she's had that fight, the two Cameron fights, and then two more Serrano fights as of this weekend, after the age of 35, it's ridiculous, really.
Oh, it is. It's absolutely insane. Like, I retired at 37 and I had enough. I know how hard it was, taxing on the body. And I just didn't like the fact, I didn't like going to work anymore, because, you know, my going to work was taking punches in the head, and I wasn't happy to do that anymore after 37 years of age. And I was looking for an out, and thank God I got it. But no, you're right. Katie Taylor, like, still, like, you think of it, 13 years ago, she won the Olympic gold medal. Like, and even throughout her amateur career, she topped the podium on most major international competitions. So what that actually means is every tournament she went into, she got the maximum fights from the tournament, because she would always go to be the last standing, like, you know. So you're talking 4, 5, 6 fights in any major competition, year in, year out. Right back to her first world championship, I think it was 2006. So she's 20 years on top. It's unbelievable. And her hunger and her drive and her passion is still the same. But, you know, anyone I speak to, the first thing they say is, oh, I hope she calls it the day after this one, you know. They've been saying that for like 5 or 6 years now. And I, look, do you know what? I kind of get it. I do. Because Katie Taylor is our darling, like, you know what I mean? She's like somebody who, in a sport of boxing, you know, boxing is synonymous with being tough and macho and brave and everything. But we look at Katie and Katie is kind of like, she's our prized possession as a country. You know, we don't want to see her getting hurt. And she's been so successful for so long. We'd love to see her, you know, just sail off into the sunset without having any kind of long-term damage or getting hurt in the game.
Yeah.
So I get that point of view from people.
Well, the worst thing about being arguably Ireland's greatest sports person is that the sport she competes in involves getting whacked in the face. And that's a hard thing for people to countenance because people love her.
That's it. Yeah, no, we do. We just have this affiliation to Katie Taylor. Like, you know, we're so proud of her and we're so proud of everything that she's done. But she's up against a very tough opponent, Owen. Like, let's make no mistake about it. I know that Amanda Serrano will be very grateful for Katie Taylor because Katie would have helped her to make some really good money in the game, you know, would have helped to accelerate and catapult her to a global audience as well, and for her to get good financial payments for her work. And I know Jake Paul, you can have many opinions about him as well, but he's helped women's boxing massively, and whatever views you may have of me, he's a very, very good promoter. So yeah, but like Amanda lost twice to Katie, and the last thing someone wants to lose is 3 times in the trilogy. Like, there's no fun in that, you know. She'll want to win, and she probably sees this as her last chance to get a win over Katie Taylor, and probably her best chance in terms of like Katie Taylor being 39, having all of those hard, tough fights. You talk about the Chantal Cameron fights, even those 2 fights in between, they're very, you know, taxing fights.
Yeah.
Serrano has went on and won 4 or 5 fights since the last time she boxed Katie, but they haven't been really tough, taxing fights. Like, she's a very good operator, very good pro. I find that Katie Taylor's fights seem to be wars, with all due respect.
Yeah.
She seems to get herself into a lot of bother, a lot of trouble in the fights, and she'll tell you that herself. Oh, I just can't help it. I have this, you know, I have a plan, and the plan goes out the window as soon as you get a box in the mouth. You know, that's old saying, Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan till they get a box in the mouth. And she gets drawn into a scrap, and then it just takes its toll on her, and you can't keep doing that. And I just feel that, like, she needs to box very, very clever here. Very clever, because when someone loses, they learn a lot more in the loss than a win. And Serrano's lost twice. So there's just something about losing that gives you, like, winning doesn't give you an edge when it comes to a grudge match like this. I find the person that loses looks more and finds out more and, you know, has more to prove.
Except after the last fight, Serrano's camp gave Katie Taylor plenty of ammunition. The way in which they went on after the last fight, they're not thinking about the trilogy when they're speaking in front of a microphone, but now they must be thinking, geez, we've lit a fire under Katie Taylor. Why have we said the things that we've said? Like, questioning her legacy and questioning her honesty to a certain extent in the ring feels like something that Katie Taylor has used for fuel over the last number of months.
Talk is cheap, Owen. Like, and there's no, you know, there's no more cheap talk than in any other sport in the world than boxing. You know, there's so much trash talk in it, like, and people just do it for the sake of doing it, and it's just become part and parcel, like, you know. But a lot of that is kind of to ruffle feathers or to kind of, you know, people just airing their own personal grievances. But if you step back, if any of them step back and have a look at Katie Taylor and her legacy, they'll realise that they're talking rubbish. You know, what Katie Taylor has done, if they look at it objectively, she's just absolutely changed the game, and you have to respect that. But I think, again, people will try it. Like, we've heard it before with Delphine Persoon as well, you know, talking about she should have won the first fight and Katie Taylor got favouritism and all that. Like, I don't think Katie Taylor needs any more motivation. She is a world-class athlete. She is driven by, you know, just to be you know, involved in these iconic fights. She loves the fact that she's now going to be part of a first female trilogy. The likes of she often, you know, recites the Arturo Gatti, Mickey Ward, and the Antonio Barrera, Eric Morales trilogy fights that were just like iconic and legendary. And she's going, she always said, I want to be involved in these big ones. So here she has her moment. You know, she sees it, she has a vision, and it's manifesting for her in her life. And it's, but it's also a really good platform for women's boxing. We know that Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor is probably, this could be their final fight, but there's a lot of good female boxers on the other undercard. Ellie Scottney from England, she's class act. I think she's brilliant. World champion as well. And she's going to be there. We've got Alicia Boomgardner, who's a fantastic fighter, Savannah Marshall, Chantel Cameron, who we all know. So it's like the best of the best of women's boxing all on one card. I think it's a great time for women's boxing in general.
Yeah, it's absolutely stacked. So Baumgartner is defending four belts at super featherweight tonight. You've got Ramla Ali, who you didn't mention there as well, who people are very, very excited about as well. So it's like they've collected all the best boxers in the women's side of the game and are putting them on this card. It's absolutely sensational. Like, you wouldn't be particularly surprised if you see Taylor versus Chantel Cameron again. That feels like another fight that needs to happen, but I guess there's just way more cash available to her in a fight stateside.
Even when you mention these fights, I'm kind of like, no man, I don't get the same buzz for it anymore, like for Katie. And I think it probably goes back to, I'm probably falling into line with that kind of more, you know, Katie, last thing I want to see is her go too far or, you know, take a punch too much. Or
how will she know that, Eric? When will she know that she's at that point?
She'll know herself, I suppose. And people will often say this, like in boxing, like, oh, somebody is shot or somebody has had enough and they should pack it in. And then they go out and they go again and roll the dice again, and then they put in a career best performance, and you're kind of like, geez, you know, I thought that person was, you know. But that happens. It just happens. But I think one thing you cannot stop is, you know, your biological clock, and you're getting older, and she's 39, and it is a sport of boxing. But the one saving grace for her is that the rounds are 2 minutes. If there were 3 minute rounds, it could be potentially dangerous, particularly against a puncher like Serrano. Serrano has that concussive punch. The only thing that kind of doesn't work in her favor is that she's not a fully fledged lightweight. She came up from flyweight. She worked her way all the way up to bantam, super bantam, feather, super feather. So she's not actually a fully fledged lightweight, but she still packs a punch. But it's the 2 minutes that kind of work in Katie's favor as opposed to Serrano's, because when Serrano has her hurt, say in the second minute or whatever, if she had an extra minute, you know, she could actually take you out or finish you off. And that is always a danger. But the 2 minutes, they go very fast in the ring. And I just hope that Katie doesn't, hope she just boxes clever and doesn't get drawn into a fight this time, because, again, just for those obvious reasons of getting hurt by Serrano. I wouldn't like to see that happen.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast,
we had this.
When someone says, oh yeah, definitely, he's fucked her ear twice, yeah, it gets you a little bit of respect. You know, I'd say I didn't handle it great, in that I probably put myself under too much pressure. And you're playing against maybe Anthony Tobel, Peter Canavan, Seamus Moynan, brilliant footballers, you know, and trying to produce a level of performance that would justify that you were player of the year twice. So that's my only little insight into it.
And we also had this.
Some players, like some renowned for shouting at ball kids for things going wrong, so. Yeah.
Well, you ever shouted at?
Not shouted at. Some players are renowned for not being very nice, and some are renowned for being lovely.
Nick Kyrgios.
Yep, first name in my head.
Which category?
He's in the zone, put it that way. Like, he's definitely
in the zone.
That's
very diplomatic of you.
Yeah, I know. He was renowned for not being the nicest, but also, you know, it's your life, so.
Catch up now elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning when Off The Ball Breakfast is live from 7:30 on your OTB social channels.
To go back to something you mentioned earlier on in terms of the scraps that Taylor has found herself in, particularly against Serrano, she said this week that, I feel like people haven't seen the best of me yet. I can definitely make the fight a lot easier for myself. How does she go about doing that?
I remember Michael Conlon said a quote when I had my last fight, and I was 37 years of age, and I said, me at my best would beat El Hadri at his best. But I remember Mick Conlon saying, Eric Dunne was 37 now. He's not at his best. His best has gone past him. But his best at this age, he could still win. And that's the thing with Katie Taylor. We have seen the best of Katie Taylor. The best of Katie Taylor has gone by. It's gone by a few years now. You know, there's a few things that she does that's like, it's a couple of flaws, you know, staying in the pocket too long, putting the chin up, letting the hands down. Little small things that shows you a slight decline in her reaction, in her speed, in her wherewithal within the ring. But she still has the ability at 39 and capability to get the job done and win. But I do believe her best years are gone, past.
I don't think that's a controversial thing to say about a 39-year-old athlete, to be fair. How has she adjusted and has she become a smarter fighter as a result of knowing that certain elements aren't what they were when she was 33, 34?
Yeah, well, I believe her whole training system and regime has changed around. She doesn't do as many rounds sparring and all that as well. And that's important too, you know. You have to train. When you get older in the game, particularly boxing, you don't have to train harder. You have to train smarter. And that's the key. I do believe that she is training a lot smarter as well. But like, it's like everything. You can have all these plans that you're going to do this, A, B and C in the ring. But when you get into the ring, sometimes all of those plans can just go out the window. And then you're literally just boxing on instinct and resolve and character, and so often, you know, and we know that Katie comes up trumps in all those departments because, you know, she has it. She just has it deep down, and she has it deep down, that conviction, that spirit to just fight to the bitter end. But I would like to see her using more of her intelligence, more of her IQ in the ring, just staying out trouble. Katie sometimes wins rounds. Like, but you only get 10 points for winning a round and 9 points to the loser, unless it's a knockdown round or a real beatdown where it's 10-8 or 10-7.
Or point deducted,
exactly. So, like, winning a round, you just have to win the round. Don't have to exert all of your energy, you know. Just win the round and that's it. Just bank the round. It's called round management. And if she can do that, she'll hold. I think she needs to preserve some energy for down the stretch, because I have a sneaky feeling that Serrano's going to come on strong in this fight. I think she's going to do that. So I hopefully Katie can remain disciplined throughout and composed.
On the points deducted last time, first of all, it was astonishing that she managed to come from that position to win the fight. But the headbutting thing, is that a sign of an aging fighter in terms of them losing their energy? Or is it actually a sign of a wily fighter who has gained everything she possibly can from years of experience?
Yeah, look, I don't think there's any, you know, badness or, you know, intentional kind of actions with it. But Katie does at times come forward with the head. It's not that she leans with the head first. She throws punches and bunches and really fast, and she jumps in. She's got a great acceleration off her back foot, and she jumps right in, and the punches are so fast that sometimes the punch, you know, she comes at such a speed that the punches land and then the head comes in afterwards. It is kind of like unfortunate if you're on the other end of that, because it's not a nice feeling, like, you know. But I suspect that Serrano's team will be onto the referee about this from the very start. And, you know, what could happen here is referee could be on Katie's case right from the off in about how she's going about her attacks and how she's jumping in with her combinations. And if the referee starts pulling her up, it could get under her skin. It could affect her game plan, and that would be, you know, that certainly wouldn't be helpful for her at all. And I think that they're going to use all of those kind of tricks. They will be hounding the referee to kind of jump on Katie Taylor and start, because they'll be trying to portray Katie Taylor as a dirty fighter. She's not a dirty fighter. She's a very honest fighter. It's just her style. That's all the way it is. She's very fast. She jumps in with her punches, combinations, and sometimes the head comes in after it, like, you know. But it's not a head first. It's kind of a head second type of thing.
And you're more susceptible to that happening when it's southpaw versus orthodox as well, right?
Yeah, because there's a real clash of styles there. But also, Amanda Serrano is very flat-footed. So she stands and holds her ground, and Katie jumps in. Amanda Serrano doesn't kind of box like that. So when she's flat-footed, she can't really get out of the way. So Katie just goes, vroom, zoom, jumps in 3-4 punches, and sometimes the head. What Katie will do is she'll do bam, 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 and then she'll try and just cover up. And when she covers up, it's the head then that kind of goes in. The head goes in. Don't forget, throughout Katie's whole amateur career, she had a head guard, and the head guard nullified all of these kind of, you know, cuts or bruises and stuff like that. So they helped to give that protection. But in the professional game, there is no head guard, and it's skull hitting skull, and it's a very sore thing when it happens. And you see the cut on Amanda Serrano the last time; it was a serious cut, and it is like. Performance, like it affects your whole performance. It changes your whole game plan. If you've blood coming down into your eye, you're already like now fighting a losing battle. Like, you know, it's a very, very hard thing to do.
Yes, that's a really interesting piece of analysis, because it's as much about Katie as it is about Amanda Serrano. But what you're saying there about Serrano's flat-footedness, that's obviously creating the situation as well. Like, you don't want to say that Amanda Serrano takes any blame here, or that Katie Taylor takes any blame. It does. There legitimately feels like there's a style clash here that has led to a couple of collisions between their heads, and there isn't a whole pile more than that. I kind of want to look at this more objectively as possible and not have the green tinted glasses on, but it does feel that your analysis there kind of does paint a picture of this just being one of those things, and it's an unfortunate consequence of the way these two great fighters fight.
It is, but my biggest fear is that one of Katie's strengths. Jump in really fast, bam, 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 hit you very, very quickly before you even know it. And then kind of the head kind of, she wraps up really quickly or tries to cover up like a turtle in a shell just straight away. And what happens is sometimes the head hits their head. And, you know, more often than not, Katie's opponents come off second best. If the referee jumps on Katie from the start and lands her with a public warning in the early rounds, in the first two or three rounds, that could affect one of her signature moves.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then Katie will have to, because like, it's not like Katie Taylor's going to change her style at 39 years of age. That's the way she is. That's the way she boxes. And it's just... it's a clash of styles. You're right.
A very basic boxing question here from someone who knows nothing. The technique there of getting in, hitting a few shots, and then kind of keeping your head in, is that an unorthodox way of fighting, or are most young boxers taught to get in, get out, get in, get out?
The best idea would be to get in and get out. Like, you know, but sometimes it's very hard to get out. When you've jumped in from maybe 3 or 4 feet out, you know, it's hard to propel yourself in that much, land the shots, and then propel back. So when you're coming back, you could get caught coming out, and get caught with a point, get caught on the return, and then that can be very dangerous. Or when you jump in and punch, so the best thing is to do is stay in there, but exit out. Don't stay in the pocket. Like, don't just bulldoze yourself in after throwing the shots. Very technical thing that you need to do. It's very hard to do it at all times, but I find that when Katie launches off her feet, then there's not really a lot she can do when he lands the shots. All she's thinking of at this moment in time is to land these punches, and then when the punches have landed, she's kind of there, she just kind of braces herself, covers up, and this is what happens. This is where the clash happens. But when she's on the outside and she's moving off the back foot and she's landing her punches and exiting out of the way, it's lovely boxing. It looks really nice. It just sometimes, you know, you'll see some lovely, clean, crisp boxing from Katie. And then in the next 20, 30 seconds, you'll see a slugfest. And that's what we've become accustomed to over the last while. Like, you know, and styles make fights. And Amanda Serrano is going to make it. She's going to test. She's going to really, really test Katie. She's already tested her. Katie has some chin, I'll tell you that. But I mean, how many more shots can you take?
And I do want to get to that in a sec. Just one last thing on that style aspect. So very famously, the CompuBox stats kind of heavily favoured Serrano in terms of landing punches in the second fight. 324 to 217 was what the CompuBox count was for the rematch. Mm. Is that a consequence of what you just explained?
Yeah, that was in, was that in Serrano's favour?
In Serrano's favour, yeah. She outlanded Taylor in both fights, actually.
Mm, look, and again, it goes down to how many punches you threw in the round, but that's a total, that's an overall total. I think Amanda is the more significant puncher. Katie Taylor throws punches in bunches. Like, it's still, one thing that never changed for Katie is her speed and her punch output from the amateur game right into the professional game. And Amanda Serrano has been a professional for a very long time, since she's been a young woman. So she has more of a significant punch, and she punches more like a professional. So when she punches, Amanda Serrano doesn't just punch with her arms. She punches with her shoulders, with her hips, with her back. Whole body comes behind the shots. When you watch Katie, it's just like boom. It's like a little, it's like a drum roll. Yeah. It's just her hands that's hitting you. There's not a lot of power. It's more the speed that gets you. But there's no real kind of, you know, what would you say?
Thrust.
Concussive power. There's no real snap in it. But when you watch Amanda Serrano landing her shots, watch how significant they are. Watch how powerful they are. She punches from her feet all the way through, and her feet are flat on the ground. Now, sometimes when Katie Taylor's punching, her feet are not on, she's up on her toes and not rooted to the ground. So you don't get as much power out of them shots.
So you're saying Amanda Serrano has more power in her shots, but then she's also outlanding Taylor in terms of the number of shots.
Mm.
So how come Taylor's winning these fights?
Well, it goes down to rounds, doesn't it? Like, you know, yeah, so maybe the rounds that
she hammered her 10-9 on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, like you can land 30 punches in a round to your opponent's 10 punches and still only win the round 10-9. But yet you've outscored your opponent by 20 punches in that round. But it doesn't make a difference. You just won the round by 1 point.
Yeah. You mentioned the chin. The other thing that comes to mind when she's in the late stages of one of these epics is just the heart. And it's a very hard thing to describe when you're not Katie Taylor herself. And I've asked her this myself, and I guess it's so hard for us to appreciate her greatness in that regard. But what do you think does keep her going in those moments in the red zone when it looks like she's absolutely on her limit?
I just think it's her desire, her heart, her will, her dedication, her and her faith plays a big part too. You know, her faith is very, very important, and she's outspoken about that and has been for most of her career. And I mean, what's the alternative anyway? The alternative is what? To throw in the towel. a fighter is not going to do that, you know. And she's I'll be honest, I was impressed by her at the first Taylor Serrano Madison Square Garden fight, particularly those rounds. I think it was 4, 5, 6. Oh my goodness, I thought she was gone. I'd never seen her out on her feet like that before. But then she resurrected herself and she came on strong and won convincingly the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 or whatever it was, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I just thought, wow. I was just like, I never thought Katie Taylor could impress me more. But she continues to do that. Just elevate your level of your level of opinion on her to new heights. I saw her go to new heights that night, and I just thought, wow, that was incredible. So she just keeps changing the game.
You mentioned Arturo Gatti there earlier on. Gatti Ward feels like a great trilogy to bring up. Ali Frazier, it's not hyperbole to suggest that we're witnessing one of the great modern trilogies in boxing.
Yeah, this is it. No, it's like she's always said it. Like, Katie Taylor's a boxing fan first and foremost. Like, you know, so she didn't, you know, she didn't just like suddenly like just magically want to be involved in these trilogies. She's been a fan of boxing. She's been watching all of these classics, these iconic fights, these legendary fights, and she's always wanted to emulate them and replicate them. And she's doing it. She has her opportunity.
What's going to happen, Eric?
Do you know what? I'd love to see Katie win, obviously. I genuinely would. But this one, I can't convincingly or confidently say it's going to be Taylor. It's going to be Serrano. I think either of them could do it. And that's it.
That's what's going to make it another special night, I suspect. Listen, great to chat to you as always, Eric. Thanks, Millie, for being with us.
Pleasure, Owen. Thank you. Take care.
Off the Ball Daily.